Well, today I want to talk about the resurrection and what happened that day, and I'm going to read about it out of Luke chapter 24. I'm going to read verses 1 through 12, so why don't you stand with me and we'll read this passage. Luke 24, 1 through 12, it's titled, He is Risen. Verse 1, now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then, as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. Then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed to them like idle tales, and they did not believe them. But Peter arose and ran to the tomb, stooping down. He saw the linen clothes lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come into this time of your word, I pray, Lord, that our hearts would be opened wide. Father, that we could receive from you today, Lord, a word of encouragement, a word that builds us, Lord, that opens our eyes to who you are and what you want to do in us, Father. I thank you for this time that we could be together to celebrate Jesus. And in Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, Amen. You may be seated. There was a man working in his backyard one day. And when his neighbor began talking to him over the fence, he said, Yeah, my wife and I went to one of those seminars yesterday. You know, they teach you ways to improve your memory and such. His neighbor commented, Really? What was the name of the speaker? The man said, What's the name of that flower that smells good and has thorns? The guy said, You mean a rose? Yeah, that's it. Hey, Rose, what was the name of that guest speaker yesterday we went to listen to? See, the Lord knows we have a short memory. So throughout the Bible, we find him reminding us of things over and over again. And even doing things to help us remember. You know, we've seen, there's passages in Scripture where he says, set a memorial stone, or, you know, or write this down, or, you know, take note of this, pay attention. You know, whenever you see a word twice in the Bible, it's like it's shouting. They shouted the word, and they just write it twice in the Bible. But there's things that the Lord really wants us to remember. And when you see these ladies, just imagine in your mind, they're coming to the grave, the stone is rolled back, they get there, they look in, and his body is gone, it's gone, and they're like, oh my gosh, he's gone, somebody has stolen his body, can you see, somebody stole his body, oh my gosh, and the angel's like, wait, what are you guys doing here? Why are you looking for the living amongst the dead? Like, don't you remember? You know, but the first thing I want to point out of this passage today is how they're feeling, because they felt, number one, perplexed. And when I looked up that word in the dictionary, I mean, we all have an idea of what perplexed means, but it means confused. There was confusion about why was he gone? Who took him? What's going on? And I think that's happening in America today. There's many people confused about God, because we're being told that there's so many ways to God now. But we know that the only way to God is through who? Jesus. But there's a lot of confusion. And I think it's because religion has become void of the relationship today. Even in the church, you know, we don't get together, we text. That's not a relationship, you know? It's really not. But I mean, I text people too, but I'm reminding myself, maybe I should just call them. Somebody texted me the other day, and I text them back, and they text me again, and I'm like, I'm calling you right now. I want to make contact. I don't, you know, everybody wants it in writing these days, you know? I even tell Delonda, they'll say, Ron, You know, hey, stop by the store and pick up this, this, and this. And I say, okay, I'll do that. Text me. She's like, well, I just told you. I'm like, I know, but you know how I am. When I get in the store, it's like it went in one ear and out the other. You know, and so I tell her, you got to text me. You got to write it down. You got to give me a list, you know, so I can maintain it. But that's what, you know, these women got there, and they didn't remember. They were perplexed, and they're stressed. Somebody took him. You know, but when I look at the religion of the world today, I've taught a class on cults before in college. And when I teach in college, they don't just hand me a book and say, here, teach this class. They say, here's the title, and this is what it's about. I'm like, oh, okay, so I got to do all my own research. So when I taught a class on cults, I went through and I began to study world religions, but I began to look at, is Jesus the central figure? See, because I don't care if you call yourself a church or a Christian church, whatever, Pastor Jesse, if Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is not the central figure, then it's Antichrist. And I don't want anything to do with it. I'm not going to buy into it. I had somebody come to me one day here at the altar and said, Pastor, you need to go to the mosque and you need to pray with them, the imam up there, and you need to get to know him. And I said, why? She goes, well, because, you know, we pray to the same God. I said, no, we don't. And she said, what? I go, we don't pray to the same God. And she says, we don't? I said, no. I said, they do not believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. So why would I want to sit down and pray with people that don't believe in Jesus? Doesn't mean I won't talk with people and I won't witness to them and testify of Christ. And I'm never mean to people that don't believe the way I do. But I'm not going to sit down and pray with people that I'm not going to go to a church where they don't believe that. Jesus is the central figure of the gospel. Amen. It's all about him. You know, Matthew 28:19, it says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Lord. Amen. It's three of them. There's a Trinity involved. And he's telling us to go and to do that. So I look at to take the confusion out of my life, so that I don't have any confusion about religion at all, is Jesus Christ the central figure of the religion? Because I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, amen? And he is the only way to God the Father. Now, I believe that every religion leads to God the Judge, because every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord, but only one way to get to God the Father, and that's through Jesus Christ. But everybody is going to bow before Jesus someday, whether as judge or as the Father, as our Savior. So the next thing about these ladies was that they couldn't remember the promises of God. You know, without the promises of God in my life would be crazy. I have a bunch of them in my closet. When I went and saw War Room, that movie, took it to heart, and I went home, man. I got 3x5 cards on my wall in there, and I stood in there this morning before I got dressed. I just stood there and I just began to, because they're all promises, Pastor Jesse. They're all things that, definitive things, you know, and I just started declaring them things over my life and over your lives today, because I believe that God's promises are yes and amen to them that believe. It means that we can have what God has promised if we just believe, amen. And so I believe it and I speak it out, because I don't want Jesus to be an afterthought in my life. Okay, I want him to be at the front of my brain, not at the back. I don't like coming back and saying, oh, I wish I would have said this instead of that. Or you know, Delonda always helps me out. She goes, you know, if you would have said this instead of that, it would probably be a little better for you right now. And I thank her for her coaching. She's like one of the angels that's reminding me, hey, you know. But not everybody has an angel in their life to come and share with them. Can you imagine if those angels weren't there? Can you imagine if the left that tomb that day so distraught and discouraged that they just walked away and they never did anything with it? But no, the angel was there and to remind them of the promises of God. See, because Jesus told them at least three times, just in the book of Luke, Three times, Luke records, that Jesus told them that he's going to die, but he'll be resurrected. One time he said it was going to be like Jonah. Another time he just flat out said, they're going to kill me, but in 3 days I'm going to rise again. You know, but they couldn't remember. See, and I know that we in this life experience trauma in our lives. How many of you ever experienced a traumatic thing in your life? You know, I have been with many people that and held their hand as they're going to heaven. It's a very traumatic thing. But I always have such peace because I know they're going to heaven. You know, I just remember Sister June Mahaffey was a part of this church for so many years. And just to be in that ER room with her as that machine zeroed out, praying with her family, my heart was just rejoicing for her. She was with Jesus. You know, but trauma like that can really knock us for a loop. And I think so many people have been traumatized by the things going on in this world that we forget what God has said to us. See, even with my mom going to be with Jesus, I rejoiced because my mom was going to be with Jesus. It's where I want to be. It's someplace that I'm going to get to. Delonda would say, not yet, but I am going to go there one day. And I rejoice in that fact that I have that confidence assurance in Jesus Christ. And so when situations come up of trauma, what is your life like? What comes out of your mouth? What comes out of your life when you experience a bad situation? There's an old poem I'd like to read to you. And it says this, it says, for the lack of the nail, the horseshoe was lost. For the lack of the horse was lost. For the lack of a horse, the rider was lost. For the lack of a rider, the message was lost. For the lack of the message, the battle was lost. And for the lack of a battle, the war was lost. All for the lack of care about a horseshoe nail. See, there's certain moments in our life that define us, that make us who we are. If you don't care about what Jesus has given you, when you need it most, you may not remember it. And I would just ask, you know, I would say there is a nail in every one of our lives that we need to hold on to and we need to care for. And I would declare to you today that that nail is the Word of God. Yeah. We need to care for the Word that the Lord has given to us the same way that we would care for the nail in a horseshoe. We need to take note of what God is saying to us, because when we don't remember, it can cause a lot of havoc in our lives. And you're not always going to have an angel following you around to let you know that everything's okay. But that is why we need each other, isn't it? You know, you may be the very angel that somebody needs in a moment of distress. You may be that very person that can bring a word of encouragement to somebody to let them know it's going to be okay. You're going to come through. All is not lost. All is not lost. And then number three about this situation is Jesus said it over and over again. He repeatedly told them what was going to happen, but they repeatedly didn't remember. Well, they didn't remember what he said, but I want to tell you this. When you have a firm foundation that God loves you, Amanda said it in the first service. She said, you know, I have this assurance of God, but we have this foundation that God loves me, so no matter what happens, God loves me. Amen. No matter what's going on around me, because my foundation is in, well, God loves me. So, God, what are you trying to show me? What's going on that, you know, that this is happening? And I don't have to lose it because of this, but God, show me what's going on right now. I know you love me. You care for me, but this event is happening, and I know it's not something that you desire for me, because God's plan is to prosper me and not to harm me, amen? That's what Jeremiah 29:11 declares. So when something, a traumatic event happens, and I just take my breath and say, okay, God, what are you trying to show me right now? Because I know this, he loves me. He loves me so much. So, I take care of the nail. I maintain the nail in my life. I maintain his promises in my life. I get up, I look in my closet, and I say them, his promises to me. I declare them over my life, over yours. I'm taking care of the nail. I don't want to lose the horse. I don't want to lose the rider. I don't want to lose the battle. I don't want to lose the war. Amen. I want to succeed in Christ. Amen. I want to have victory in my life all the time. And he tells us over and over again, listen, I'm going to die. I'm going to raise from the dead. I'm going to die. I'm going to raise from the dead. I'm going to die, but I'm going to raise again. See, we need to maintain the promises of God in our life so that when trauma comes, when events happen, that we're not so shaken and so moved that we can't focus and we don't fall into confusion. Because that's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to confuse you. He wants to, number four, make it seem like idle tales. Now, these are the guys, Abe, these are the guys that spent years, 3 years, solid years with Jesus. These are the guys that saw miracles, saw Lazarus come forth out of the grave, saw the lame man walk, saw the blind see, saw the deaf hear, saw the mute speak. These are the guys that saw incredible miracles, Mike. They were in awe of God. They saw him feed 5,000 with two fish, five bread, five loaves. They saw these incredible miracles. But yet on this day, The ladies come back and say, he's risen, he's risen. And they're like, it seems like a fairy tale to me. They'd seen all that and it seemed like a fairy tale. Like it wasn't even real. And I wonder how many times that in events in our life that we just couldn't even relate to God because he just didn't seem to be. He didn't seem to be real. Listen, if you don't feel God, that's not God's problem. If you don't feel connected to God, again, that's not God's problem. God sent his son Jesus to that, not that one, but a cross, and he came out of a tomb. He beat it all for us, amen, so that we can have life. But it seemed like idle tombs. And this is how idle tales. Are you guys even listening to me, huh? That was a funny point. Seemed like idle tales, but this is how we get deceived. In Matthew chapter 24, in verse 4, 5, 11, and 24, it says this. It says, Jesus said, take heed that no man deceives you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and shall deceive many. And many false prophets shall rise and deceive many. For there shall arise false Christ, false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Four times in this one chapter, he's telling us, don't allow yourself to get deceived. He's telling us how these things can happen. Because listen, there's going to be people that are coming that are able to do signs and wonder. But if you're following people and not God, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. Because it can't be about a man. It's got to be about God. Amen? It's got to be about Jesus, our Lord and Savior. But the enemy can make it seem like idle tales. And I say this because that's what the word says his disciples thought. The people that walked with him, that talked with him, that saw the miracles, they said, this is like a fairy tale. You know, but I know this, that today many people are experiencing trauma. Many people are having financial losses. Many people are just experiencing personal loss. Many people I know have lost their homes the last few years. Many people have seen their kids go a different direction and wandered from the truth. They've walked away from the church. You know, all my pastor friends are telling me that they are doing funerals at an alarming rate. It's just like incredible how many funerals that they're doing right now. I had one pastor said, I've done 10 funerals already this month. Pastor Jimmy over at Lake Hills Assemblies of God. He said, I've already done 10 funerals this year. It's like, oh my gosh, you know, and it's just one after another after another. Pastors are saying, well, I lost 5 last week. I'm like, oh my gosh, it just, you know, but I'm thinking in my head, that's terrible, but in my spirit I'm going, oh, they're with Jesus. They're with Jesus. And what, you know, I'm thinking that right now that going to be with Jesus instead of what we're going to have to deal with here in the days ahead. But we let God decide that, amen? So, almost 2,000 years ago, we see that the ones closest to Jesus, his very disciples, 5, did not believe. All because of what was happening. They couldn't believe it. The ladies came. They shared. And the disciples, just, they couldn't believe it. Peter got up. He ran to the tomb and he looked in. And another account, I think it's in John, says 2 of them went to the tomb. They looked in. And again, the angels are saying, what are you doing here? Why are you looking for the living amongst the dead? And still, you know, even in this passage, it says this, Peter was just like, wow. But the one thing that Peter did, and a lot of the disciples did, was they reverted back to what they knew. They went back fishing. See, a lot of times in life, we experience events in our life, and we're either going to keep moving forward with God, or we're going to return to our old way of doing things. And only you know inside of you what you'll do. They went back fishing, and as they were fishing, Jesus showed up on the shore. He said, hey, have you caught anything? And they're like, nope. And he's like, put your net on the other side. They put their net on the other side, and so much fish. You know, see, because when Jesus is in charge, you know, there's just more than enough. They had to call their friends over, come get these fish. And Peter's like, that is the Lord. I know that is the Lord. And he jumped in the water and he swam to shore. And this is after he had denied the Lord. After this big trauma that he had gone through. But Luke chapter 24, it finishes with the road to Emmaus. These two disciples are taking about an 8-mile journey, 7 to 8 miles. They're walking to Emmaus. And as they're walking along the road, they're really bummed out. They're really feeling discouraged. They're feeling let down because they thought Jesus was the one that was going to change their lives forever. They thought that Jesus was going to deliver them from the Roman rule. They thought he was the Redeemer. And they had an idea about what a Redeemer should do. The Redeemer should deliver us from the Romans. He should establish us again as our own kingdom. You know, and when Jesus died, they were stressed. They're like, oh my gosh, he was supposed to be our Redeemer. And here we are. We're still in bondage to the Romans. We're still in jail to them. So they were hurt. They were crushed. Then Jesus comes. And he comes up alongside. And they don't know it's him. And he walks with them. And he says, hey, what's the matter, guys? And I said, don't you know what's going on in Jerusalem? Man, they just killed Jesus. They just killed the guy we thought was the Messiah. What are we going to do now? Now his body's missing. What are we going to do? They've stolen him. And Jesus is listening to these guys, just like he listens to us. And he starts explaining from the prophets in the Old Testament all the way forward concerning himself. And he shares with them, like, you guys should not be tore up about this. He's like, I got this. But they still didn't know who he was. Then they get to Emmaus, and Jesus was going to go on further. They still didn't know it was him. And they said, hey, why don't you come in with us and stay with us? And he said, oh, okay, I'll come in. So they order dinner, and they sit down. And when they broke bread with Jesus, their eyes were opened to who he was. and he disappeared. And they said, oh, didn't our hearts burn within us when he talked? We should have known it was him. Oh my gosh, because they could, their hearts were just like, oh man, he's explaining it just the way he explained it to them the 3 years that he was with them. He laid it out for them again. And they're like, man, that we should have known that it was him. But I know that many people in this day have been confused and have not been in communion with Jesus. See, in John chapter 15, it says that we need to abide with Christ. We need to stay connected to Jesus. You see, because I learned from Abraham, you know, the father of many nations is what it declares about him, that when you abide with the Lord, when you have relationship, he'll tell you what's happening. You know, because Jesus said the Lord came down with two angels to Abraham, and they said, should we stop and tell our friend Abraham what's about to happen? The Lord just stopped and he shared with him because they were friends. And it's declared throughout the Old Testament a number of times that Abraham was a friend of God. And it talks in John about us being a friend of God when we believe, having relationship. So that when the things of this world happen, we're not caught off guard. You know, ISIS doesn't scare me. We know this stuff's got to happen, amen? It's got to come down to this at some point. I don't care who gets elected president. I'm going to vote. I'm going to go to the voting box, but God is in control. You and me can have more effect in changing this nation than a president if we would just pray. We have the power of God, amen? And we can make a difference. So I'm not moved by all this stuff going on because I know that in order for Jesus to come, at some point things got to happen to wind this thing up. But I believe that the thing that's going to happen is God's going to pour out his Spirit like never before again, and we're going to see an end time move of God, and there are going to be many people that come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And I believe that's coming. It's not far off. It's not something that I'm sitting and waiting for. It's something I'm participating in. See, we could sit back and we can wait for something to happen. Or we can just start participating in it. I remember when I was young, on fire. I'm still on fire for Jesus. When I was younger, I said, hey, can't we just have revival if we do 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14? Can't we just humble ourselves and pray and turn from our wicked ways? Then he'll hear from heaven, he'll hear our life. Can't we just do that? Won't that work? I put that question to you. Won't that work? We humble ourselves and pray. That's why we're here, man, Friday nights. You know, I know you all like to go out and do your thing on Friday night, but come pray first for an hour and then go do your thing. You want to go to a movie and go on a date night? Man, start your date night. It'll heal your marriage coming to prayer. I'm telling you, because it makes you think about what you're saying and what you're doing. It makes you remember the promises of God when you're in prayer and you're in intercession, the promises of God. See, because when I'm praying, man, I get my word out. I bring my Bible. It's big. Isn't it a big Bible? It's because it's got such large print. And I pray the word. And I just speak it out. This is Proverbs 25:25. As cold water to a weary soul, so is good news from a far country. I think, you know what, that just spoke to me about us going to China next week. We're bringing cold water to weary souls, and it'll be good news from a far country. And I believe that's what God is going to use Delonda and I for a week from tomorrow, to bring cold water, a fresh drink, to these men and women of God that are so oppressed over there in China. And it's going to be an incredible time. Amen? But maybe you're here today and you've been confused, or you've been doubting, and you're not quite sure about your relationship with God. There's just been so many things that have happened, yet you've had a hard time seeing him. You have a hard time relating to him. You're in good company. The 12 men closest to him thought it was like a fairy tale. And they didn't believe because of the tragic event that had just happened. Maybe you've experienced some tragedy, some events that have just kind of knocked you off course. You just haven't been the same, and you want to be back where you really need to be with the Lord. See, because I'm reminded of the 10 virgins it talks of in the New Testament. So there was 10 virgins, and they were waiting for the bridegroom to come. But 5 of them ran out of oil in their lamp. They weren't ready. And they said, hey, give us some of yours to the other 5. And they said, nuh-uh, man, we want to be ready when he comes. You go buy some. And so they ran off to buy some. And while they went to go buy some, the bridegroom came. And 5 went in. And 5 were left. 5 of them didn't take care of the nail. Maybe you're here today and you haven't taken care of the nail. And your horseshoe's been off. And you just haven't been on track the way you need to be with Jesus. The great thing about Jesus is he's full of chances. He's full of opportunities for us to just turn to him. I want you to just bow your heads today. I'm reminded of the disciples that when they had communion with the Lord, their eyes were open to who he was. Jesus, I pray that you show us, each one of us, where we're at today. And I'm going to ask you this with every head bowed and eye closed. Over to my left here, your right. Maybe you say, I need my eyes opened. I need to take better care of the nail today. If that's you, I want you to just look up at me right now. Just look up at me right now. Amen. 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 In this center section right here, you need to take better care of that nail. Just look up at me right now. Amen. 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 Praise God. The center section here on my right, if that's you, you need to take better care of the nail. Just look up at me right now. Amen. 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 Praise God. All the way to my right here, your left. If there's anybody in this section here, you're saying, I need to take better care of the nail. I need to get on track. Just look up at me right now. Amen. Anybody else? Why don't we stand right now? Many people looked up at me. And I'm going to ask you to just take a step further and to just come down to the front right here because we want to pray for you today. If you looked up at me, just come to the front. And let's just take care of that nail today. Amen. Praise God. Let's give the Lord a big clap today, huh? Hallelujah. Praise God. There's a couple of men right here I'd like you to come stand behind. Al, could you come and stand? Joe, why don't you come and help us out and come stand behind these men right here. Yeah. Right here, Don Maurice. Carol, could you come and help us out right here? RL, yeah, let's cover these men right here. Let's cover them. Cover these ladies. Because we're not in this alone. We're in this together. We're the family of God. Amen? And today we're just saying, Jesus, we're going to take care of the nail. Amen? So I'd like everybody to just repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your son, Jesus. Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Wash me and cleanse me. Give me strength today to take care of your promises. The nail in my life. Be my Savior. Guide and direct me.
I give you my life.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a clap. Hallelujah. Now, don't run off down here. I'd like you, the people around you, to pray with you before you go today, but I'd like to just say a prayer over the congregation and just thank you for coming out today and celebrating Jesus with us, for your lives today, your life, your life. Father, we give you praise. We thank you, Jesus, that you're alive, that you rose from the dead so that we could live. And I pray, Jesus, that today the commitment that we've made, Father, would just be so strong in us tomorrow when we get up. That, Lord, that as we've been forgiven, Father, that we would not only forgive, but I pray, Father, any wrongs that we've done to people, that they would see the transformation that's taking place in us and they would forgive us. Father, that today would just be a new beginning. Lord, a new way of living. That, Lord, that we would not get confused or doubt or any unbelief, Father, but we would remember your word and your promises to those. Lord, the promises of God are yes and amen to them that believe. So, Father, I pray a protection over every person here today. I pray a protection over our mind, Lord, and what comes in. And, Lord, I pray for healing in every body in this house right now. I pray, Father God, that no weapon of the enemy formed against us would prosper, but the healing power of the blood of Jesus would be at work in every person right now. I pray, Father God, that, Lord, you provide for your people. You are the Lord God, our provider. I pray provision over the people today, and, Father, that your joy would be our strength. Lord, I thank you and give you praise for this day in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. So just turn around there and let those people of God pray with you this morning. Have a great day, you guys.